Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
In Mark 9:37, Jesus says, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me." And I welcome you to Orphans No More. I'm Sandra Flack, Executive Director of Justice for Orphans Ministry. Joining me today is my buddy and orphan advocate, Annie Spurbeck from Waconia, Minnesota. Welcome, Annie.
I am so excited to be here with you, Sandra. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited, too. I just wish it was in person and we could have some coffee and talk more about orphans and adoption and all these things that we're both so passionate about. But Annie, you and I first met 11 years ago while our families were waiting to go to Ukraine to adopt. We both had three bio kids and we were pursuing Ukrainian adoption. And first we got together through email, then we started talking and praying together by phone. And we met for the first time in person in Kiev, Ukraine. But our paths kind of headed in different directions after that as you walked through a very painful journey of a failed adoption. But just share with us a little bit about that, what led you to pursue adoption and what happened.
Well, thank you. And, you know, it was a journey that took a turn that we weren't even anticipating, but we just were a regular family with three kids, like you mentioned, and we simply felt that as Christians, we should do something. You know, we recognized that we were blessed and we had a home and we had provision. Again, just a regular family, but also felt God calling us to do something about children, either in the foster care or in orphanages. So we made some steps to do some checking here locally in Minnesota with foster care first. And with the guidance from the social workers at that time, we felt that given the ages of our children, that in the age of children we were hoping to reach out to, that perhaps foster care right at that point was not the right match. And that led us then to pursue international adoption. And we did begin learning of the plight of the older orphans at risk of aging out of the orphanage and being put on the streets. And, you know, we've learned that there are over 143 million orphans worldwide. Mm. And after doing our research, and we did interview three agencies, we chose one here in Minnesota, the same one that you actually worked with. But unfortunately, at the time frame of when we were walking through this, there became some tremendous misrepresentation and dishonesty, and we were kind of caught up with about 12 other families that went through a journey that ended up with the adoptions not manifesting, and we did lose all of our money. And there were some tremendous heartaches with that. Mm. And even though, you know, we got sent over there, when we arrived, we learned that our agency did not send the money and it was not used in the appropriate way. And so that, although we met you and Wayne at that time, you were ahead of us by a number of weeks. And we just kind of got caught up in a point in time when this agency was just kind of falling apart and not being very honest. And it was truly heartbreaking, but I did make a vow that Andy and I would not become bitter, but we would seek to make it better.
Yes, yes. And what a difficult journey that was. I remember talking to you after we got home with our kids and just the pain and the difficulty. And the agency unraveled on us too, but we were farther ahead in our process that it didn't so much affect us. While we were in country, we were able to get home with our kids, but things unraveled with the agency completely after that. And if I remember correctly, they lost their license to do adoptions in Minnesota, correct?
That is correct, and all over. I mean, yeah. We worked with the other families and the Attorney General here in Minnesota, and we shut them down. And, you know, many people came up to me afterwards and said, what a, you know, tremendous effort you went through and what you did, you know, helped spare other families from going through working with what became a dishonest agency. And
right.
I'm like, well, that's very true, but still, you know, my heart was broken because all we wanted to do was just step out and help a child or two. And it ended up turning around that we put them out of business and they will not be able to and have not been able, you know, to work with families with a heart for orphans any longer. And it's unfortunate, But, you know, we moved on, and after walking through some time of healing, I began to connect with other families who were pursuing adoption, and I did what I could to encourage them, because we did lose a tremendous amount of money, and, you know, we just weren't in a position to try again at that point. So I took on the role of a cheerleader, in a sense, and it's amazing the connections that the Lord put in my life. I connected with people in the adoption pursuit that I haven't even met personally, but we just became kind of bonded over the phone, and I cheered them on. And one of my most special stories is a family that I met through this adoption world that live in Canada. And, you know, they had a struggle getting through and completing it, and I just kept cheering them on, and I basically said, you know, come on, you just need to keep strong. You know, adoption is not for wimps.
That's
you know,
right.
Keep going. And they ended up bringing their little girl home, and I'm honored to say that she bears part of my name. You know, they gave my name as her middle name, and they said, if it wouldn't have been for you, we wouldn't have stuck it out. And I have her little picture on my desk here, and it's just a joy to know that just cheering someone on helped them, you know, keep strong and keep pushing through this adoption process. And it's very special. Now she's already just started kindergarten, so
wow.
She's been with this family and her two brothers for over 5 years.
Wow. So she came home from Russia, but then you've also helped some other children along the way find families. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Well, as I said, you know, that after ours didn't work out the way we intended, we started learning about other ways you can help and advocate for orphans. And so I kind of became an advocate alongside an organization called Project 143. And they work with a few different countries and bring orphans to America twice a year. There's a period of hosting in the summer, and then there's a period of hosting over the Christmas holiday. And so I started learning about these programs, and although we didn't host right away, I just kept telling people and passing it around, and they passed it around, and then I'm learning that just by sharing and spreading the word, this child got hosted or that child got hosted, and many of these children who get hosted on these programs do end up becoming adopted.
Mm.
And so that's what I started focusing my energy on, and I thought, this is a great advocacy program. And we began, and you can host for a variety of different reasons. You can host with the intent to adopt yourself. You can host to advocate for children, or you can simply host to bless and invest in their lives. And so I was able to share with a number of different families, and through a couple of these programs, you know, I've learned that, it could be as soon as another adoption is finalized, that will be 7 children that we have helped find forever homes. And that, to me, is just such a blessing.
Yeah.
So happy to participate in that.
So your orphan advocacy work led you to an amazing opportunity this past spring where your family actually did get to host 3 orphans from Latvia. Can you tell us about that?
I would love to. And that was very exciting because I thought, I'm doing all this work as sharing and passing the word, but I personally, we have not hosted yet. And so I had a real good talk with my husband one night after work, and I just said, you know, I really feel this is the summer. This is what I want to do, and I want to trust the Lord for all the finances, because there is a financial piece you have to consider. From the Project 143, it's around $2,900 or so per child to be hosted. And that might not seem a lot to some people, but especially sibling groups who are the ones that don't get chosen as often, that gets to add up. And so you can be creative. And my husband and I reviewed the website with the children that were selected to come, and we ended up choosing the sibling group of 3 sisters, and their ages were 5, 7, and 15. And we specifically wanted to reach out to a sibling group because, again, they are the ones that have the hardest time of being chosen and or, you know, eventually finding a home. And so we did have a fundraiser, and we raised most of the money that we needed, and people were so generous. And that's why I want to continue to share about this, because you don't have to do it alone. And I found so many people who maybe don't feel called to actually host themselves, but they were willing to donate to help. And so we did bring these three sisters into our home for 5 weeks this summer with the goal to advocate for them and for their future. And we ended up just having the most incredible experience. And there was a family within our community that upon meeting them, they felt the Lord really speaking to them. And now they are choosing to host these sisters at Christmas time, and they feel they want to make it permanent and pursue adopting them. And that, I cannot even put into words the joy that we felt, that we stepped out in faith and we knew that we had a calling to help these three. And now, even in our own community, I couldn't have planned it, but it's what God ordained, and now they're just walking it out in faith for the journey that they are on.
You told me, Annie, how that family met these girls. You took them shopping. Can you tell a little bit of that story?
Oh, it was wonderful. This family, they're a beautiful family here within our town, and they have a secondhand store. And again, my children are in their 20s, and so when we brought in these little children, younger, I didn't have a lot of clothing, you know, on hand for them. I got a lot of donations eventually, but this wonderful woman named Diane, she said, bring the girls to our store. They can have everything they want. And so I did do that, and they had fun just shopping. And this was gently used clothing and fun toys and different things. And they just had a blast. And then I said, hey, let's just take a picture of Diane and the three children. And I did share that with other friends and family about this moment being there. And that's when she really felt that the Lord was speaking to her, just having this moment of putting her arms around these three beautiful girls. And it just kind of unrolled from there. And she felt like God was saying, you know, I brought these orphans to you. Now, what are you going to do about it? And it was just so touching. And they contacted me a couple weeks into our hosting and just started asking all kinds of questions. And I just let it go from there. And I knew God was in control of this. This was not about Andy and me. We were just walking out this process of hosting to advocate. And it is on a journey now that as things unroll, these children will have a forever home.
Right in your community, even.
I know. Now we get to be a little auntie and uncle. And we are excited to see them coming back at Christmas time. And when you host these children, you know, you don't talk about adoption. You know, they believe they are coming on a vacation. And again, you can host with the intent to adopt or to advocate for them or to bless and invest in their lives. Project 143, you know, is really a unique opportunity. The children are interviewed by a team that travel to these countries, and Project 143 brings children to America from Mexico, Kyrgyzstan, Ukraine, and Latvia. And these interview teams go and meet with orphanage directors, and upon the orphanage director's recommendation and the interview process, they do choose a number of children that get to have this opportunity. I would say it's an opportunity of a lifetime.
Yeah.
We had these children here. The littlest things would bless them, you know, and it was just such a joy to bless and invest in their lives.
Well, let me just remind our listeners, if you're just joining us, I'm your host, Sandra Flack. This is Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about adoption, foster care, or orphan care, visit our website at justicefororphansny.org. Joining me today from Waconia, Minnesota, is orphan advocate and my friend, Annie Spurbeck. Annie, over the summer, you hosted three Latvian orphans, sisters, in your home. You did this through a program called Project 143. Could you tell us more about how this works in case our listeners are wanting to learn more and maybe even consider hosting some orphans in the future?
Well, absolutely. It's just such a joy to be able to share. And again, this is a hosting opportunity through Project 143. And everything that I am sharing can be found on their website as well, which I'm sure you will mention in the program and can be on your link or whatever. But it's a five-week summer program or a five-week winter hosting program that Project 143 brings children from Eastern Europe and Mexico to just set in a family for a season. And the children understand they're on a vacation, and they are able to come and just get a break from orphanage life. And hosting changes lives. When you can bless and invest in some children and give them a chance to see what living in a stronger, you know, family unit is like, it can really change their life. And so we did take that challenge this past summer, and through Project 143, we selected three children from Eastern Europe and were able to bless in their lives. They fly, they come with chaperones, and these chaperones assist the children during the transition time because many of them know some English, but some don't. But we weren't even concerned about that. We just knew that it'll work out. And so these chaperones bring the children, and then we meet and greet them at the airport where they flew in for us in Minnesota. The children in this area of the country flew into Chicago. So we just went over there and picked them up and then brought them home and just started just loving on them. Hmm. And so, again, Project 143 sends interview teams twice a year to meet with orphanage directors and find these kids that would be a good match for this program. Last summer, 88 kids came from these countries and were blessed to live within a family setting with just some normalcy. I mean, you know, I really can't put it into words. It's an amazing program.
Another thing that happens while the children are here with families in the United States, they get some dental care, medical care, that kind of thing. Can you tell us how that works?
Yes. Project 143 asks if a family hosting is able to get their children some dental work and maybe have their eyes checked. That's all. And so we tapped into a dentist here in my community who really had a heart for children. He's been on mission trips himself and understood, you know, the charity piece and giving to those less fortunate. And his entire staff at our local dentist here in Waconia, they took care of all three of these children. And given there was some neglect in their lives, unfortunately, they did need a lot of dental work. And so even if you host to advocate and to help someone have improved dental health, that can change their life forever.
Yeah.
And then we did work with Lens Crafters at a mall nearby, and they have a charity piece where they also donated time and service. And so, you know, for someone considering hosting, they might think, oh, I can't afford this, or I wouldn't be able to pay for their dental work. Well, you know, you can work with the people you know and find out these organizations that do care and have a charity piece. And these children had all their dental work done. They had eye work done, and none of them needed glasses that we were hosting, but should that have been a need, this doctor would have given them glasses.
Wow, that's incredible. And the children are not promised, oh, you're going to get this family forever. They understand it's a vacation. Host families don't have to be in the position to adopt. Like you, they could be advocating and introducing the children to other families at church or wherever. The hope is that a family will step forward during the 5 weeks and will connect with the kids, and that they will pursue adoption, just like the family that met these three girls that you hosted are pursuing their adoption. Is that right?
That's a great way to explain it, Sandra. And again, you can just bless and invest in these children's lives, and then you don't have to be feeling like you're called, because maybe not everyone is called to host or adopt, but everyone I feel can champion a cause like this. You could donate funds toward hosting fees. One of the children that we feel we had an impact on last year, we weren't in a position to host, but we donated a grant and donated money to Project 143 that helped reduce the fee of a young boy, and then he was chosen. And so sometimes, you know, you could get together with your Bible study group, your family, your friends. Maybe you have golfing buddies or workout friends. A club that you're involved could decide that, you know, we want to donate and maybe sponsor one whole hosting fee of a child, or choose a sibling group to help put a grant down on that larger sibling group to reduce the hosting cost of a family that would do it if they could, you know, pay for all of it.
Mm.
And so that's an exciting thing to do as well. And I just truly know that hosting changes lives, and it's not just the lives of the children you host, but it's the families' lives that are touched. And the community here in our town of Waconia, we had such a tremendous outpouring of support. Again, people have many causes that they are drawn to support. And, you know, maybe one with orphan-related causes isn't where they put all their time and focus, but they surely could put $50 or $100 toward this event that we had. And so that's why ours turned out and it worked out so well. You know, many people came and were happy to support it. And so you don't have to do it alone.
Mm.
You know, and again, you might be championing another cause, you know, in your local community, but teaming up with friends and family really makes it work.
It reminds me of, say, a family would be interested in going on a missions trip, but it's just not feasible for them to, you know, leave the country and go to Africa or go somewhere for on a short-term trip for 2 weeks. But what about if you bring that short-term trip to your house, to your home, bring these kids in for 5 weeks to your family? It's kind of like a reverse missions trip is what it reminds me of. And it will change the lives of the children, but it changes you as well, as you really begin to experience God's heart for these children.
Absolutely. And that's what I shared, that thing, exact same feeling with my husband, Andy. And I said, it is like going on a mission trip, but
yeah,
we brought it here.
We brought it here.
And I was able to impact through that way more people, because I literally told everybody I knew when we were doing this, not to draw focus on us, but to bring awareness to the orphan
yes.
causes and the orphan needs. And, you know, there are some people who would question, like, well, what about the children, you know, right here in America or in Minnesota? And yes, that is also a wonderful cause and a deep need. But my encouragement to people and to any listener is, whatever your calling is, whether it's in your community, your state, or if you feel called or drawn to an international orphan-related need, just do something about it. Just get up and do something about it.
That's
because
right.
That's how it's going to change. We cannot sit by and know the facts that these children who live in orphanages, when they age out, the statistics of their survival are staggering.
Mm.
You know, every day, 5,760 children become orphans.
Mm.
And approximately about 250,000 children are adopted annually. But each year, you know, millions, like over 14 million children grow up as orphans and age out of the system by age 16.
That's right.
And that means each day, 38,000 plus orphans are aging out and needing to leave the facility because they don't have room, you know. So you can do something.
That's right. That's right. So project143.org is where our listeners can go to learn more about the hosting program. You can look at the children. You can sponsor children. You can host them, bring them into your community. So Annie, as we wrap up here, what is on your heart that you really want our listeners to take away from our conversation today?
Well, I would like people not to think that this is such an effort that is bigger than they think. I think people make it too big in their mind that I could never do that, I could never do that. We are just a regular family. And I believe that if we have listeners on today that are hearing this, if you are a Christian, you've got to choose to do something. Share it even with your friends who maybe aren't listening to Christian radio. But I want people to realize that if God calls you to it, He will see you through it.
That's right.
Whatever your calling is, you know, you pray about what you can do to touch the lives of 143 million orphans worldwide. Gather your friends and your family, your clubs that you're in, your Bible studies, the people you go walking with or, you know, hunting with. Again, not everyone is called to host or adopt, but I feel that everyone can champion at least donating, putting some scholarships out there or grants on these hosting programs that make it affordable for those who are really willing to step up and do it. And as you shared at the beginning, one of my theme Bible verses is from Mark 9:37. Whoever welcomes one of these children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. I truly feel that orphan care is caring for the least of these on behalf of the greatest of all, being God our Father.
Amen. Annie, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for all you are doing advocating for the orphan, and I pray that more children will get their forever families as a result of your ministry.
Well, thank you for everything that you're doing. I pray a blessing on your ministry and that it reaches far beyond even what you even could imagine as well.
Oh, thank you. So again, that's project143.org if you want to learn more about hosting. If you enjoyed today's radio show, all of our past radio shows are up on our website, justicefororphansny.org. And I just want to remind you that Orphan Sunday is just 1 week away from this broadcast. If your church is standing for orphans or for foster children on November 13th, if it's not, it's not too late for your church to do something. Play the 3-minute video clip on Orphan Sunday that you can get right on the Orphan Sunday website. Pray for the orphan. Have an info table at your church. Start small, but start, okay? Thousands of churches across the United States of every denomination in every state, along with churches in 84 nations globally, will be standing for the orphan on November 13th with one voice for one purpose, to defend the orphan and vulnerable children everywhere. Details and free resources are available at their website, and you can check your church in on the map. It's really simple. Go to orphansunday.org. And if your church is not doing something this year for Orphan Sunday, get it on your calendar for 2017. Orphan Sunday is always the second Sunday of November. And we'll see you here next week.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.